Sister Marla, thank you for your song and the offertory. Just touched my heart this evening. I had the privilege of hearing her daddy sing for 16 years at Fort Scott, and she gets it honest. Her daddy and Terry Chance, Steve Kelso and Terry Chance could sing. They were my Beckham and Bullock. So we had some good music at the church. Is your name Henry? What is your name?
Derek.
Would you help me tonight? This service has been so long, I'm weak now and can't hold two books. I want you to come up here, Derek. Stand beside me. I want you to help me preach my sermon. You know, one of the things I love to do at Fort Scott, and it's so good to see Jason Dodson here. He was my youth. Are you getting tired, Derek? Okay, yeah, just kind of cross your hands like I am. Square your shoulders. Pastor Jason, so good to see him. He was my youth pastor for 18 months at Fort Scott, and you're talking about a brilliant guy who loves the Lord. We had some great times. One of the things I would do, I would ask some kids to testify, and it made their mamas nervous. I wanted to hear from the younger set, and one time, he's not little anymore, but Max Blueball stood up. He said, folks, he said, I got to tell you, he said, our house is a wreck, and we need a lot of prayer. Well, Brad and Bethany were in the process of moving. There were boxes everywhere. And he said, pray for us, folks. Our house is a mess. I tell you, it helps to lift the load of a service sometimes when some good things happen. I want you to turn in that book, Derek, to page number 228. And when I need that, can you count that high?
Yeah.
You didn't go to school down in Arkansas, did you? Uh-oh. Well, he's going to be one of their teachers if he can count that high. I want to read a list of names to you tonight. I hope that the spirit of Dr. Omar Lee settles on me and we can be out of here in about 20 minutes.
Amen.
You've had a big day. And I'm telling you, business meetings and convention and all that, we have the same process. And it wears you completely out. So I'm fully aware that it's not going to take me long to unburden my heart this evening. But I want to read a list of names. Maybe you'll recognize some. E.G. Garrett, Dr. Omar Lee, Dr. I.C. Holland. I preached to Brother Holland at Fulton. Probably didn't have much to say, but he sat about right here. And you talking about supporting a young preacher as a preacher is trying to get some things accomplished for the sake of the kingdom. Nothing feels better than knowing someone who cares deeply about doctrine and loves to preach is supporting you. Merle Rice signed my ordination certificate, and among some others, we'll get there. C.E. Count, I never met him, but I've read his work, and we're looking at some of that this evening. Dr. John I. Page passed away in 99, February of 99, and I went to Fort Scott in July of 99. He was, you know, having difficulty in those years toward the end. But I picked him up at GBS. He'd come in, he was serving on the board there, and he and Kenneth Powell were best of buddies. And you doing okay, Derek?
Yeah.
All right. It's tough preaching, isn't it? Yeah, it is. John I. Page, Dr. Dell Yoakum, he's already been mentioned. Go to the Ant, Thou Sluggard. R.L. Kimbrew, I.L. Patton, W.L. Gates, Clifford Lee. I got to preach to Clifford Lee on occasion. He'd come to see Bill and at Fort Scott, and you talking about a dear man of God, a sweet spirit, and could pull the preach out of you. Jack Smith. And I think all of these have gone on to glory, haven't they? I love Brother Smith. Now, Derek, you're at page 228, aren't you? All right, hand me the book. Now, what we're going to do, you don't have to stand, keep standing if you don't want to, but let me show you something here. Derek, you're part of the Church of God Wholeness. And the history has been amazing at times. Let's go back, the back of the book here for old C.E. Cowan, old Dr. Cowan. Back in the day, W.L. Gates was running 170 in Sunday school. You know, the numbers used to be flipped around a little bit, didn't they? Sunday schools were the big deal. By the way, I teach Harold and Banner every Sunday. I don't have anybody that's really qualified to teach Sunday school. I appreciate Harold and Banner. W.L. Gates, 170. This would have been on the 6th Street location. 170 in Sunday school. And 87, how many go to your church, Derek?
Around 20.
Hey, that's wonderful. But some of these churches, it's amazing. Let me go on. How about Columbia? Dr. C.E. Cowan, 175 and 114 in church. Fulton. 185 in Sunday school, 142 in worship. Man, you're talking about getting me excited. I mean, God, Kansas City, I see Holland. Would that have been Gregory Hills? 175, it doesn't say Gregory Hills, it just says Kansas City, 175. 125 in Sunday school. All right, Derek, give me a high five and give this boy a round of applause. Okay, here's where I'm going with this. One of the most well-known examples of old men crying in the Bible is found in Ezra 3:12. The older priests, the Levites, family leaders who had seen the first temple, they had seen Solomon's temple. They were weeping aloud when they saw the foundation of the temple being built. And it wasn't because they were weeping for joy. It was because they had seen the old temple and what was becoming the new temple had no comparison to the old. If you do any study of Solomon's temple, you will know. We think we're rich. Nada. We're not rich at all. We think we build structures today that are phenomenal, and some of them are. Some of the vestibules that are being built today are as big as the sanctuary. The coffee shop is big as the sanctuary. But let me tell you, there are some old men Don't think of Jack Smith. There are some old men, and there are some who have been on the journey for a while, who when they look at us, there's not always a sense of rejoicing, because some of us did not see and have not seen what they saw. Now those men, they were men of God, used of God, sure, but also men made of clay. They were not perfect. Come back here, Derek. I got to read something else. Bring your book. 128. And we're going to look at a couple more things here. Oh, I said 228, where we were before. I'm sorry. I'm from Alabama. I can't count. All right. This is what we're going to do. We're going to read some questions that went out as a survey. Express your opinion on women smoking. What is your position on women voting, holding political offices, etc.? Do you believe in women preaching? Southern Baptists are talking about that these days, aren't they? Are you opposed to men wearing neckties? What is your position as to having instrumental music in the church? We talked about that. Do you own a car? Pastor has to fill it out. What make and model? They're probably judging, making some kind of judgment concerning how much you're spending on your car. Here's one we need to hear again today from these men with feet of clay. Give your opinion briefly on communism. I remember those youth services, and we would act out the possibility of the communists taking over. And with some leaders today, they might not have been too far off base. Give your opinion on labor unions. Okay, Derek, I'm going to give you a cash offering after church. Thank you. Now, what I want to talk to you about, if you haven't noticed, there is a lot of change that's happening all around us. But those men and women, and you and I, need to make sure that we understand some things about who God is. Colossians 1:17. I do plan to preach at some point tonight within this 20-minute window that Dr. Omar Lee has given me. But we better hurry. Colossians 1:17 says this, "And he, God, is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Yes. Dr. Chad, I know that within your skill set, you are going to be the best president KCC can have. You are going to be the best home mission director that they've ever had, even maybe even better than Jack Smith.
Lord, help us.
But Chad, don't forget, with your giftedness, with our strengths, with what God has blessed us with financially and spiritually and emotionally and by way of education, friends, we are not always going to get it right, but God is the one who we can lean on with every ounce of our anticipation. We can lean on God because He is infinite. There have been days where we have soared. There have been moments that God has given revival and God has in His power poured His Spirit out in a literal fashion among us and across our little movement that we call the Conservative Holiness Movement. But friends, we absolutely cannot depend upon our leadership skills to accomplish what is a divine work. It is God's work, and it's He who we must lean upon. Amen, Derek? Oh, man, I got a supporter here this evening. God is infinite. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. We must tap in to the power of an all-powerful, divine, infinite God who knows us perfectly well. The fact that God is self-existent, that He was created by nothing. He is the uncreated creator. The fact that He was created by nothing and has always existed forever is perhaps one of the hardest attributes to grasp concerning God. But friends, in our limitedness, grasping the nature of our limitless God is like, it's like trying to hold on to water as it rages down the river. I think you all have had some flooding here lately. We were coming up 71, I think it's called 49 now, and water everywhere. We cannot grasp the infinite nature of who God is, but we can know Him and we can trust Him and He will lead us and He will guide us. There are going to be moments in history, and it's been this way since the inception of the church. There have been highs and lows and moments in between, but God is the same infinite God who wants to walk with us today. Amen. I tell you, I approach the place of preaching and I approach my little congregation. And let me tell you, I have fewer answers today than when I started out in 1999, let me tell you. But I do have a confidence that is very different from what education offered. And I do not decry education. I've been in school my entire life, but I will tell you this, God can do for us in a moment of time that, and what He does can only be explained by the power of God. God is infinite. God is immutable. He never changes. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Malachi 3:6. There's a lot of change that I've seen in my lifetime. I remember an old preacher, Donald Cassidy. Did any of you ever hear Brother Donald Cassidy along the way? He was an old timer. He came to our church, and back then the issue was VCR. And he went to digging some wells that night. He'd find another well, and in one well there may have been gossip, in one well there may have been lying, and another well there was cheating and stealing and all kinds of things. And then in one well he found a VCR. It was as if that technological tool was sinful in itself. Some good people have missed it along the way. But let me tell you, friends, did you ever watch anything on a VHS tape that was not pleasing to God? You know what old Brother Cassidy was trying to say? He was trying to say that no matter what device you have, he didn't say it. He said, get rid of it. But what he was trying to say in principle was whatever device you have, make sure it passes the principle test. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be, I may have missed a couple like I did last night, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Technology, I mean, Google owns the world. Technology is absolutely in our face. And how we deal with that will determine our peace of mind. Whatsoever things are lovely. Friends, if you post that scripture on your refrigerator, maybe you should put it on the screen of your phone. If you pass that test every day, you will be absolutely blessed in your Christian walk. Amen. Technology comes and goes, rules come and go. But God is immutable and he does not change, and his principles and his precepts and his desire for us to be holy. They asked J. Orton Wiley. Okay, I started down the right trail, but it didn't sound good. J. Orton Wiley, they asked him, they said, tell us, can you explain the number one attribute of God? And you know what he said? H. Orton Wiley. That's why it didn't sound right. It's not J. It's one of those highways in Missouri, I know. H. Orton Wiley. They asked him to describe the attributes of God. What is the most prolific attribute of God? And you know what Wiley's response was? He said, I cannot boil down God to one point. He said, because of his holiness that demands a life lived in a holy manner. But he said, his love is what provides the opportunity through Christ Jesus that we might live a holy life. Jesus came to save his people from their sin, and that hasn't changed, friends. God is immutable. Well, Derek, are you too sleepy for a third point? Okay. Now, this one may be the longest. All right. What I want you to read, point number three, Derek, what's that say? This one right here, number three.
God is sufficient.
Yes. Yeah. Give Derek a round of applause. Did you hear what he said? He said, God, okay, Derek, you can sit down. You're up to about 10 bucks now. God is self-sufficient. He has no needs. One of the things I'm trying to write about, I've finished my work at Wesley Biblical Seminary, and now I'm writing. I'm in the writing phase. I really don't care if I ever finish or not. It's a mountain to climb. But I'm trying to talk about the fact that we were created in the image of God. Male, it kind of matters today, doesn't it? Male, he created them, male and female. He created us in the image of God. Humanity was created so that we might reflect the glory of God. In all of his creation, the one thing he said about humanity is that it was very good. I really can't believe he said that about you, Jack. I can't believe he said it about me, because I know who I am. Do you know who you are? We are given God's spirit in a human body. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But let me tell you, we can be goofy and weird and not smart and pretty dumb. And we've been equated to being people who are like sheep, not like lions and bears and tigers. Sheep, they wander. But in all of that, while God is completely self-sufficient, you know what? In the fullness of time, he sent his son to be born of a virgin. And he took upon flesh. He became God in the flesh. And the reason why God became flesh was to identify with humanity like no one has ever done before or since. The God, Derek, who is completely self-sufficient. I like the way he said it from Arkansas. The God who is completely self-sufficient loves you. Amen. And he knows you. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the way we take. I tell you, one of the most powerful verses in my life is that verse from Job. When we have been tried and when we have been tempted and when we have been tested, God knows the way we take. But if we are victorious, we as humans can come forth as gold. He really doesn't need us, but he wanted us. Let's stand together. I don't think I got the job done. I don't think I preached short enough, but I did give you my heart.